This gospel is challenging. It seems to present an image of Jesus that we're just not used to. Whenever people in genuine need present themselves before him, the usual case seems to be that he will always answer their needs. If they need healing, he is the first to offer assistance. And yet, in this situation today, it seems that it's simply because this woman is a foreigner that he refuses initially to help her, which just strikes against everything that we seem to understand about ourselves, particularly in the present world where we see such destruction and the danger of people being racially profiled or people experiencing abuse or discrimination on all kinds of grounds. And it's just such an unjust and terrible thing to see and to witness. We've seen it, of course, in recent weeks in Syria and Iraq with the terrible destruction of people based on their religion and on their ethnicity. We see it more recently this week in one of the suburbs in St. Louis, there in Missouri, with the riots resulting from the killing of an African-American man who was unarmed. And so we see all of that, and it strikes us as so terrible, so destructive. And now, is it just that Jesus is doing the same thing? How do we understand this passage? How do we make sense of the actions of Jesus? I think it's in what he says in the middle there that is key to understanding this. First, of course, he answers the woman not at all. He answers her only in silence. But then when the disciples say, look, she's bothering us. She's being a nuisance. She's being noisy. Do what she wants to keep her quiet. A typical kind of male response, hey? And then Jesus gives us this insight into his motivation. No, I was sent first to the children of Israel. And this seems to be key to his own understanding of his ministry and mission, to first fulfill the law, as he told us back at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, that I will not remove one dot or one stroke from the law until it is fulfilled. Again, when he sent his disciples out on their mission in chapter 10 of Matthew's Gospel, he tells them, go only into the areas of Israel. Don't go into Gentile territory. Don't go into the region of the Samaritans. Stay within the sons and daughters of Israel. Because Jesus understands that Israel was always key to the Father's plan. Israel was always at the center, that he chose this particular people in order to be his instrument, his sign, his very bearers of the kingdom message. And until Israel comes into its final fulfillment, the mission has to remain within the boundaries of Israel. Yes, there will come a time when it can extend beyond Israel. It can be extended to us, to the pagans, to the Gentile nations. But at this point in the ministry of Jesus, he knows that first he has to fulfill that original purpose and plan of God for Israel. And so this woman, unfortunately, is outside of that. But thanks be to God, she's a woman of determination and indeed of great faith. And so she persists and she comes now and kneels at the feet of Jesus. And it's there that he issues this most terrible rebuke. No, it's not right to give the food of the children to the house dogs. I mean, some scholars have said that the particular word that he uses there for dogs is the diminutive form, so it's the form of a little puppy rather than a big full-grown dog, so it takes a little bit of the edge off. But of course, the Jewish people didn't even keep dogs as pets. The Jewish people's only experience of dogs would have been of the wild packs that would roam around the edges and eat the garbage, particularly in a place like Gehenna, there in the valley of Hinnom, just outside of Jerusalem. The Canaanites did keep dogs as pets, so they would have had that familiarity. But there's no way you can kind of soften this terrible, destructive blow. Perhaps he was smiling. Perhaps there was a smirk on his face. We don't know. But thanks be to God, this woman stands, well, kneels her ground and is able to give one of the great rebuttals of all time. But sir, even the dogs are able to eat the scraps that fall from the children's table. I mean, we love that kind of snappy rejoinder, don't we? We like that ability of people to be able to answer back in this brilliant kind of way. Churchill, of course, was famous for this sort of thing. There's many stories that are told about his one-liners, but one I like is he was having dinner one night and there was a woman who joined him at the table and she was finding his company a bit unbearable. And she said, "Sir, if you were my husband, I would poison your tea." And he said, "Well, madam, if you were my wife, I would drink it." We love that. We love that kind of sense of the quick and snappy reply. And so this woman gives one of those great one-liners. And it's in that moment that obviously Jesus says, "Okay, although it's not part of my plan at the moment, I'm going to reach into the future of the Lord and I'm going to drag that future of the union of heaven and earth now into this moment and grant you your wish." Why? Because you have such great faith. Remember last Sunday's gospel? We had Peter there attempting to walk on water rather than staying in the safety of the boat. And how does Jesus respond to him when he begins to sink? "Oh, you of such little faith." So here we have this exact contrast of this woman of great faith, a woman who's able to press through and maintain her desire for the Lord. It's a call for us, of course, that sometimes we will seem to be tested in our faith. We will sometimes receive just the sound of silence as our only reply when we first cry out to God. Sometimes the Lord will say nothing. And sometimes he will invite us to keep pressing on, keep going for those things that we know are according to the plan of God, even if there doesn't seem to be an answer, even if we only seem to get this rebuttal at the beginning. Sometimes he's inviting us to go deeper, to grow in lots of other virtues, to increase in our faith and our desire for justice to ultimately be fulfilled. This is our call. What are those issues at the present moment that need this deep and lasting faith? What are those things that are challenging us and calling us as a Christian community to address and to pray with deep longing in our Eucharist today? What are those things that we can demonstrate our desire, at least, to have the great faith of this woman? What is the thing that is calling on us to demonstrate our great faith? What are those issues, those challenges that the Lord is inviting us to be faithful to today? What are those social things that he's saying, "No, don't just sit back and allow all this to happen. Fight for it. Continue to battle it out and to bring all of your energy and life into this, to place it at my feet."